Hey there, welcome back to the Etsy Seller Podcast. I'm your host, Cody McGuffey, and today we have a very fun episode where we get to talk with Lindsay, who is an Etsy seller for many years, who is an Everbee customer, and who's absolutely crushing it in her space. We talk about family, we talk about mindset, we talk about Etsy business, we talk about research and using Everbee, so many cool things, and specifically, Lindsay crushes it in the printables space. So especially if you're a digital seller, this one is for you. Here's a clip from today's show.
It's free to set up your shop on Etsy, as most of these people listening know. And then to list your item, it's 20 cents. Like, I think anybody who has a phone that's listening to this is fortunate enough to have 20 cents, you know?
As always, this podcast is brought to you by Everbee. And we believe that everyone deserves the opportunity to pursue their passions and live life on their own terms. We believe that we should all be using e-commerce to make it accessible to everyone and make a positive impact in our families and in our communities. Everbee is the business platform for an e-commerce seller, especially if you're selling on Etsy. If you want to find winning products, optimize your SEO, grow your business, you should be using Everbee. It's free to start. Everbee.io. Sign up today. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. Lindsay, what's up? How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Cody?
I'm great. Really great. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited to be here.
Totally. You have a very cool story. And I would like for everyone to understand a little bit about who you are and how you even got to this Etsy thing. And because you figured it out. You figured certain things out, at least. I'm not going to say that you're a guru. And I'm
not at all. For you. Not all the things.
But right now, a lot of people are listening to this and they look at you or they're going to hear your story and look at you and they're going to be like, I wish I was there now, or I wish I could be there in like 12 months. Can you share your story, who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So right after my daughter was born, I was very kind of craving creativity and things like that. And so originally I started my business doing like graphic design work, like logos and resumes and things like that. And I was also doing party decorations, totally all different things. And then I realized the party decoration side of it was something I just really liked. So I got rid of everything else and went full on with that on Etsy. And it was really fun. I really liked it. I loved party planning. I loved decorating. That kind of started with my wedding and, you know, baby showers, other people's showers, things like that. And so it was just a natural thing for me to do. People always told me you should get into that. And I was like, aren't there already so many people doing that, you know, on Etsy? Yeah. But, you know, I soon learned that there's always, you know, a way to get into the marketplace and put your kind of creative spin on something. So 100%. I started doing that. And really liked that. However, as a lot of probably people who make handmade items probably know, I got burnt out pretty quickly. Just, you know, I was getting sick all the time, you know, trying to get the orders out. And, you know, all through this, I should mention that I've always had a full-time job as well. So doing that on the side of, you know, my 9-to-5 was like a lot of work. And so I was like, I knew that people were selling digital items on Etsy, but I was still scared about that too. It's like you have to take baby steps to get over one fear after the next. So the first one was getting on Etsy at all and seeing like, there's so much competition. Could I even do anything? And, you know, things were selling, you know, and then it was like, okay, well, could I do printables? Like there's all these other people doing printables. It seemed so hard and so, you know, nerve-wracking. But then I just started doing it and it started kind of taking off. And I was like, okay, I need to just completely switch everything over to printables. And that's what I did.
That's amazing. There's a lot there, and I'm gonna dive in deeper. I need to hear more of the backstory of Lindsay, and maybe a lot of people are listening and they're wondering, what did she do for a living? I know you mentioned graphic design a little bit too. What was your 9-to-5 job?
So
my 9-to-5 walk us back to maybe a bit more specifically. Sorry, take us back to 18 years old. What were your ambitions? Like, what was your mission? Are you gonna go get a job, and that's what you're gonna do? And take us back to there.
That's a good question. I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. I'll say that. My first I started listening to, you know, some podcasts about entrepreneurship once I was like in the workforce. And I remember thinking like, I could never do that. You know, investors and all of these like big things. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to now, I feel like you don't have to be all of those things. You don't have to be a person on Shark Tank. You don't have to, you know, mm-hmm. be this like big, amazing person, but you could still be an entrepreneur and sell, you know, something that you're passionate mm-hmm. about. But going back to, you know, college, I guess I graduated with journalism. And so I wanted to do something in marketing, communication, something like that. And so when I got into communications, there was a lot of graphic design, little graphic design things that we were doing. And I was like, I was kind of like, I can't believe I get paid to do this. Like, this is kind of fun. Like, I would, you know, be tasked with making the mission statement for our, you know, company, or, you know, so, and it was just like a little infographic. And I was like, this is so fun, you know? And so I just was like, I'm kind of, you know, good at it. Like, it just came kind of naturally to me. Mm-hmm. Not that I was, had any professional design training or anything like that in it. But so then I was like, oh, this is really fun. And so that's how kind of that creative side started coming out of me, and doing that on the side just was great. And then in my work, I was able to kind of learn, you know, Photoshop and things like that. This was before Canva was around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started to learn things like that. And still to this day, I tell everybody, I don't know a lot of things about Photoshop. I just really know the basics, and a lot, pretty much all of my printables are created with Photoshop. But I still don't know all there is to know. I still watch YouTube videos about it and everything like that. But I just think
a very big suite.
What's that?
It's a huge suite. It's a huge suite of tools. I mean, it's,
yeah, I mean,
even the experts don't know everything about the tool. It's
exactly. Yeah. So I'm always learning, and I always just encourage people to like try different things, because there is Canva and it's so amazing, but you can always try, you know, Photoshop, which can do so many more things. So it's cool mm-hmm. to have a lot of tools in your toolbox. I know that wasn't quite answering your question, but kind of.
No, it's okay. I'm going to pull more out. I'll pull more out. So you're in, you're now at a full-time job. So you graduate marketing journalism, you get a full-time job. You're in marketing department. Sounds like doing the mission statement, which is pretty cool, by the way, for yeah. like, you know, crafting a company's mission statement early on. That's awesome. You recognize that you're very kind of interested in graphic design, or at least you kind of think that this is kind of fun. You're naturally kind of good at it. So maybe it's like an inkling of a gift, right? Maybe. And then what? Like, what happened after that? Were you just, that's when you like started selling on Etsy, or like, was it years go by?
Yeah, it was definitely years go by. It's so funny how we tell our stories in these little snippets, but years definitely went by. And it was really the party planning stuff. I really loved that. I loved everything with my wedding. I did all the things, you know, the place cards, the menus, mm-hmm. the invitations, all the things. And people were always saying, you should do this. You should sell this. Like, there's Etsy and blah, blah, blah. And I just
because they're seeing your gifts. They're seeing some of your gifts that you don't really put a lot of value in, because it's easy for you. That's what a gift is. It's like, you don't put value on your gift because it's so easy for you.
That's so
but
true.
Everyone else is seeing it like, wow, that's special. You should like sell this. You can make like a living at this, or you could do this.
Yeah.
And eventually, after years and years, you try it.
Yeah, I guess I finally, after my daughter was born, I was really searching for that like creative thing. I tell a lot of people I went through postpartum depression. And so that really kind of kicked me into just, I need to do something outside of the job, outside of the, you know, being a mom and all that. And so, yeah, it just opened me up to looking at my gifts and looking how I could use them. And from there, I opened my shop, and I remember my mother-in-law was watching my daughter, and I like took hours, like 5 to 6 hours, like designing this party. It was a French bulldog party, actually. So I have a French bulldog in here in case you hear him. And, and I remember she was saying like, oh my gosh, you just spent so much time doing that. Like, I hope it's, you know, worth it and stuff. Mm. And I remember thinking like, it probably isn't, but then like days later, someone bought the party. And I remember just being like, that is so crazy that like I spent all this time and now I can just ship it off. And so it was like just the beginning of that, of realizing, okay, like this could work. People like my stuff. And even though it took me so long, obviously over time, I've gotten better and gotten quicker and all the things. But it was that kind of jumping off point that I was like, oh, this is something.
It validated that somebody's actually willing to pay for the thing that you created. And that's like probably the most, it probably was meaningless when it comes to like financial, like, you know, it didn't have like a financial thing, but it was more of a, it was the momentum builder. It was one of the biggest, like you said, jumping off points in order to catapult you into future success, which is really awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So then you stuck with, it sounds like you were doing lots of stuff on Etsy at first, just like any other Etsy seller. Like you were trying to do various things, trying to figure out your way. And eventually you found a niche or some sort of product type. And can we talk about that? What was that? And then.
Yeah. So, well, that's what's funny is, so I guess how that happened was I was just making random things that I thought was cool and all that. And then I started to listen to entrepreneurship and creative businesses. And they were like, you got to be out there. You got to be on social media. You got to be doing all the marketing and stuff. So I started, you know, getting on social media. And from there, I started to get customers coming to me directly. And they were like, hey, I want this party and this, you know, I can't find it on Etsy. I'd love for you to do it. And that's kind of how it all started. And so I would just do one party after the next for somebody who, you know, couldn't find it on Etsy. And I was always shocked that I have like some really great clients like that would just come back every single year for all of their kids. Like, because that is just such an amazing niche that like people love their kids and they just want to celebrate them. And so, yeah. And so it was kind of funny because my design taste isn't very kiddish. I like more mature kind of designs, but I was doing all these little kind of kid parties and things like that. And so I kind of did get trapped in that niche a little bit. People were asking like, well, do you do anything other than kids parties? I'm like, oh yeah. So I would do anniversary parties and baby showers and wedding stuff and things like that. But a lot of it was definitely in the kids space.
For someone that doesn't know printables and doesn't really know party planning, and that's me, by the way, but someone else is listening that doesn't understand what this is either. Can you explain to us like what a type of product, like what are somebody buying when they make this purchase and how much is it typically and how did you create it? Yeah. Give us that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I first started and was making handmade party decorations, my whole thing was like party in a box. So I would do the banners. I would do anything that you wanted, food tents for your party, invitations, whether printed or digital.
That you could go. Awesome service, by the way. Like we literally have a party for my son and we buy that stuff almost every single party. And it's amazing to have this kit and we're just like, damn, this is cool. And like a balloon archery, sometimes it comes with or, you know, if you buy that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And I never kind of dabbled in the balloons, but I know other people do. But it was basically everything that you need that's like customized, the banners with the names on it, invitations, you know, little signs around with little activities that you were going to do. So I would work with specifically with people on, you know, we're going to do this game. So I need a sign for that. I need, you know, an activity sign, favor tags, that kind of thing. So in the beginning, I was shipping it out and doing that. And so then I thought, for a long time, I didn't want to switch to the printables because I was like, I wanted it to look the way I wanted it to look. I wanted it to, you know, represent, you know, and I wanted it to be really nice and cut out perfectly and blah, blah. And so then I kind of got over that and when I got into the printables world. And so the printables are basically that, but you can print it out at home. So the banners, you're going to print it out just on your regular printer and then you're going to cut it out. You're going to, you know, punch the holes in it and then string the banner. The invitations are a little bit easier. So, so that's kind of the idea behind it.
I love it. So it's like almost it's done for you. The design is all done for you, but you still have to like DIY, like the last 10%, but that's 20% kind of thing.
Yeah,
and it totally makes sense. Like we would do that. I mean, a lot of times when we're party planning, you don't actually necessarily need them to ship you all this stuff, at least from a consumer standpoint is we're okay with printing stuff out. It's just like the creative part was actually the problem that we had, you know,
right.
And that's the problem you're solving. And that's what we're paying for.
Yeah, exactly. And there is, it's such a range of people, right? There's certain people who they don't want to do anything. They want you to ship it. And in that case, the printables really aren't going to work for them. But there's the people, like you said, who just, they just want the stuff that they can just print out easily, cut it out and everything. So when I was doing, you know, the printed and shipped stuff, when you talk about the cost, I mean, you know, that was like hundreds of dollars they were paying for me to do that. And then now it's like they can buy favor tags for $3.99 and cut them out themselves. So it's a definite bargain for them for sure.
No question. A lot of value. Do you suggest, now switching over to like the seller hat on, like for somebody listening to this and just like, huh, like maybe I'm kind of good at like design like that too. I'm kind of like Lindsay. Is a printable market something that somebody should consider? Should they go into it? What do you recommend?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, I always say that I help people use their creative skills to make passive income with printables, because if you have, and even when you're not that creative, there's so many things you can use now to do that. But I just love printables because you get to get creative. And one of the things my students always say is like, yeah, I could just do this forever. Like, it's so fun. And that's how I feel. It's like, I would put on a podcast just like this and I would just start designing, you know, or if you're more of a TV person, you can have that in the background. But it's so, for me, it's like a meditative thing. Like, you're just kind of designing and there's no point to it. There's just like, you're having a good time doing it. So that's
amazing. That's amazing. Like, that's literally a dream come true for so many people.
Yeah.
To like do something that they really truly enjoy and somehow it monetizes them later on to where they can continue to sustain this whole thing. And so like the dream, honestly, it's a dream to do.
Yeah. This. Yeah. And that's the thing with printables is sometimes it's a little bit, well, like I said, like it's a little bit delayed, right? It's like in the beginning, it takes a long time to figure out what you want to do and do the design and really get into it. Like I said, with that French Bulldog party, but then fast forward a few years and I'm not spending that much time doing it. I'm still making money on the things that I made years ago. And so that's what's so fun about it is you can kind of, like you said, monetize your passions or what makes you happy to do. So
how much money is there to be made in this? I know this, obviously in the printable market, that's the product type. This is the way I would describe it. Printables are a product type. And then there's like a bunch of like niches inside that product type or right. I guess. Yeah. Anyway, is it a lucrative thing? How much can someone expect? Like, do you have any sort of ranges, experience, students? Cause I know you're teaching like other people how to do this now, because that's what happens. You're good at a skill and then you happen to teach it because it's fun. And then people ask you to teach them it. It's natural evolution.
Yeah.
What's the possibilities? Get us excited.
Well, I mean, so I always tell my students to really shoot for that like $1,000 a month kind of thing. I feel like that is totally doable. And I would say, you know, I have the most I've made in 1 year is $40,000. So, and then I've made over $100,000, you know, over time selling them. So, and then I do research all the time, not necessarily with my students, but with other people that I see online who are making $100,000 and $200,000 per year selling printables. So I'm like, it's however you want to make it. You know, there's a lot of people who they want to quit their jobs and they want to do that. And there's a lot of people who don't want to do that. They just want to make a few extra bucks for groceries, for Christmas presents, for that kind of thing.
Car payment. Yeah. Pay their car payment kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm in California. So, you know, when entrepreneurs say, well, I quit my job and it's doing so well, you have to really go behind the scenes and say, well, where are they located? What is their situation? Because a lot of entrepreneurs will be like, you know, I quit my job. And you don't know that, like,
I live in Thailand.
They live in Thailand or wherever, or they're supported by someone else, or, you know, whatever. So it's really whatever you want to make it. That's what's exciting. The sky's the limit, right? If you just want to make a few extra bucks, do that. If you want to aim for more, it's totally possible.
You know, that's really cool. I'm happy we're talking about this because a lot of times, and I'm guilty of this, by the way, we entrepreneurs, sometimes we talk like that it's everyone's dream to quit their job.
Yeah.
And like, that's the dream. And then you could like go and continue to like live on the dream of entrepreneurship. Cool. That was my dream, to be honest. I believe most people are probably falling into that dream, I think. However, we don't really talk to the other people, which is like probably like you and the people that you're talking with a lot. Completely agree with you. There's certain people that are like, I love my job, or I'm really good at my job. But I do want to like create and have some sort of entrepreneurial vein, you know, outside of my job too.
Right.
Which I believe is actually probably the best scenario, especially to start with. Like, you, I believe everybody should have some sort of entrepreneurship thing going on forever.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Can we talk more about that? Like, why did you want to quit? Why did you want to keep your job? And like, do you still have your job? You still do?
I do still have my job. Yeah. I mean, I guess that is the dream, to not have your job, but I also think it's, I feel like I'm a good example of someone who hasn't and is still able to do the entrepreneur side. And I feel like maybe that's my like journey story, because, you know, you hear all these people like, oh, I went to six figures in 5 minutes, you know, and you're like, oh, well, I didn't. I've been doing this for 2 years, you know? So I feel like, I feel like my story is really to tell people like, just keep going. You never know what it's going to bring you. And maybe it's not like that instant six figures or whatever it is that you're going after, but there's so many other things that you can learn. Like we kind of, I think we talked about earlier, just like with entrepreneurship, it just brings out so many things in you that you didn't really realize about yourself. And so some of those things you need to learn about yourself on the way. And if you didn't, then you wouldn't get to where you're supposed to be. So it's like, you have to learn certain lessons, and maybe it's not like going straight to, you know, quitting your job. You know, there's a lot of other things you're supposed to learn.
Totally. And the reality is, very, very rare are those stories actually accurate to the T like that. Like, I made six figures in 1 year. True. Accurate. Probably. At least people on our podcast, it's very accurate. However, the truth is they probably had two or three other businesses before this, or they've been going after the same business for like 3 years. It takes time. You know, there's a certain element of like time and energy that has to be dedicated to something before it like gets the results that you really want.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I think that the last thing we wanted to ever do is discourage somebody from like continuing on this path because they've only made $10 this month.
Right.
Or they made $0 in this month. Like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just like, you have to find your why and your, you know, that creative outlet that you have, that's there for a reason. So you need to like, you know, stick with it and, you know, explore what it is that you're really here to do. And I think that a lot of times we have, you know, everybody's looking for their purpose, right? But I don't think we have just one purpose. We have like different seasons of purposes. And so it's like right now, if you are stuck at that, you know, whatever it is that you feel you're stuck at, you know, there's a reason why you're there. And it's like, what can you learn from this situation that you're supposed to learn? That's what I'm always telling myself. It's like, if I'm not where I want to be, then something's going on inside of me that's either keeping me stuck, or I'm supposed to learn something at the level that I'm at. You know,
that's golden. I totally think I agree with you. That's golden. I like to break things down into milestones too. Just to simplify, just go to A to B. Cause a lot of times when we hear these stories on podcasts like this or other podcasts, you're just like, oh, like you said, go to zero to six figures, or I went to zero to a million in like 2 minutes, you know, and it's discouraging, honestly, more than anything. It's inspiring sometimes, like to a certain degree, but then it's actually discouraging. You're like, damn, I'm not doing any of that. You know, and it's very real. I feel this too.
Yeah.
I still feel this. Like, I feel this every day. You know, I'm on social. I'm like, someone is always ahead of us. It seems to be. And it's toxic, to be honest with you. Where was I going with this? I'm rambling on this, but.
No, I totally agree with you. It's like, and as a coach or as someone, and for you, who's now like a thought leader talking about your thing, you know, it's like you feel this imposter syndrome sometimes because you maybe aren't as, you know, high up as someone else or doing something as someone else is doing. But I think, you know, it's just good to look at someone who's just a few steps ahead of where you are. Mm-hmm. And if I can be that person for someone, then that's what's important to me. It's like, maybe I haven't made, you know, millions of dollars on Etsy, but if I can show you how, you know, I've been able to make, you know, $1,000 a month, then that's just, you know, it's game changing for somebody. I mean, I had go ahead.
Oh gosh. I'm going to stick on that for a second. That is so undervalued. I think $1,000 a month. That's where I was going with that, was milestones.
Yeah.
You have, before you make 100,000, you have to make 1,000.
Totally.
You have to make, it's math.
Like, everybody starts at zero. Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what that's interesting about Etsy. I remember looking around before I started on Etsy, and there was this one shop that was doing like what I wanted to do. And they had like thousands and thousands of, you know, reviews and all this stuff. And like, I remember feeling a little hopeless, you know, looking at that. But it's like so funny because they started at zero too, you know, and they had to figure it out as they went. And so they're just like you were saying, don't compare your 1 year to someone's 10 year or 3 year or whatever it is. You have to start at zero just like they did.
Totally agree with this. A lot of times I have lots of friends that are founders. Obviously, we have a lot of every customer is pretty much a founder for their business. And it's so cool to the opportunity to like speak with so many people about these experiences. There's a lot of commonalities, and a lot of the blanket advice would be I give to myself also. It's like when you start getting overwhelmed, like this big, like, I wish I was here, or I want to be here, but I'm only here. It's so important to just be like, but what comes first? And you just like start breaking these things up and slicing them up. Before I get there, I have to go here. Mm-hmm. And the terminology that I use is just go from A to B. Go from A to B. If I have zero sales, what's my first step in getting to 1,000 sales? I have to get one sale.
Right.
If you get one sale, you can get 10, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I actually do love Etsy, is because it allows you to kind of see what's possible. Because if you just start on like your website, you start selling on your website, it's a lot harder to bring in that audience, right? Because it's built right into Etsy. So I always tell people, like, you just have to get yourself the proof of like that first sale. Because once you have that proof of that first sale, you're like, oh, like I can do this. And if I can get one sale, I can get two sales and three sales and all, you know, sky's the limit. So yeah, I agree with that.
Everybody was just like this. I remember going through like the development process for our first version. It was purely a hope and a dream. And I remember getting like one user, and which was cool, but they weren't paid. It was free, by the way. Right. So it was like, okay, this is cool. I think like, this is pretty cool. They're using it. That's interesting. And then eventually we ended up getting one paid user, one paid customer. And then I'm like reaching out to them, like, hey, like, what did you think? Like, so cool. And like, I was literally celebrating, right? It was like $20. It was like $20, you know? I'm like, I live in California at the time. My wife and I, like, we both don't have jobs. Like we're full-time entrepreneurs, and we're just like burning our savings, you know? And I remember just being like, damn, this is amazing, because of this core belief of what you said is like, if I can get one sale, I can get two. If I can get one sale, I can get 10 sales. And if I can get 10, I can get to 100. And if I can get to 100, I can get to 1,000. There's no reason why not. The market is huge for every single niche. Very exciting. I love this stuff. I can nerd out all day.
Really cool. I love your story. You probably have, and I just haven't listened to it. Have you done like a podcast on your story?
A little bit. One guy, Craig Alexander, came on, and I actually did a podcast with him. And then he offered at the end, he was just like, hey, like, can we flip it around? Like, I'll interview you. And it was kind of cool. It was, we talked about some of the story. It was a year ago, I think. So obviously things have changed, but the story is the same, you know, of kind of helping, kind of figuring it all out. And it's been fun. I think that's another thing actually that kind of inspires me. And also I think that it's probably inspire you and a lot of other people listening to this, is we're all writing our story right now.
Absolutely.
Like if you're going through like this really hard time of financial like hardship or a marriage issue or kids are just driving you crazy, or like, and then you still have to like start this Etsy thing or this website thing, it's going to be a part of your story, and it's going to be pretty cool and inspiring to your kids one day, or to your grandkids one day, or to your audience one day. It's pretty special.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, they say your mess is your message, right?
Oh, I like that. I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, you haven't? That's funny.
Do you sell on website as well, or are you on Etsy?
I do sell on my website. I honestly have not spent enough time really marketing myself. A lot of what I was doing for a long time. So I have a blog. I would blog about the parties that I would create. And so a lot of my traffic would come from Pinterest to my blog to Etsy. Because for a while I was like trying to do my website. And then I was like, why am I trying to put so much into this? Like, I should just go for Etsy, you know? And so that was just like and you know, anyone could do anything. You could decide to go in on your website, but it's like, sometimes you've just got to go all in on one thing. And so I really, that's like the, the traffic really goes straight to Etsy, essentially.
I love that. Can we stick on that for a second? You said go all in on one thing. A lot of times, sellers, people listening to this right now, including myself in the past, we tend to spread ourselves so thin. What do you believe about?
Yeah. Well, they say the riches are in the niches. There's another one.
And you got the quotes, don't you?
I know. I just have those little quotes. But I feel like, I think for me, it was easy to go in on the party decorations because I just like loved it and it just made sense. It didn't make sense for me to, you know, go elsewhere. And I know that I've listened to like a lot of podcasts about other printable sellers who have been really successful. Okay. And I feel like the teaching niche is a really big niche because teachers, you know, are really burnt out and they want to just go online, get something and take it back to their class. And I remember my husband being like, you should get into the teacher niche. Like, I feel like it's a big niche. And I kept just saying to myself, like, I can't, well, first of all, I don't have a teaching background, so I don't know that that would necessarily work for me, but not that anyone couldn't do that. But I feel like I was in this one niche and it was working for me and I need to just keep going all in on it. And I think, like you said, we do spread ourselves too thin. And
especially like I when said, you have a full-time job and you have a daughter who's 7 years old, you know, and you have this also Etsy thing. And also like, I should build my website. And I kind of want to teach some people because they're asking me like how to do it. And it's like, all of a sudden you're doing 7 things.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I struggle with that now because I still, you know, when I tell people I love designing and I love creating printables, like I really do. And so I want to keep doing that. But then when I'm doing the coaching side of the business, it's like that takes a lot of my time too. So it's picking what your priority is and just like going full steam with that, because, you know, when you do spread yourself too thin, you're not going to find really success when you're just kind of dabbling is really the word in different things.
It's hard for an entrepreneur to hear this or a new entrepreneur to hear this because they don't actually know they're doing it.
Totally. Yeah. And like I said, in the beginning, I was doing that. And, you know, I was doing the resumes and I was doing the logos, I'm doing all these little things. And I had no idea what I was doing. But then it was like, there is an intuitive thing that you have inside where you know which one it is that you'd want to do. The one reason why you don't usually go in on that is because you don't think it's possible for you, either because you don't think you can make money at it, or you know, there's too much competition, or whatever it is that's excuse is holding you back. There's a thing, you know, like a lot of times we think like, oh, I don't know what I want to do, but like, we do know what we want to do. We're just scared of doing that thing.
How did they ask? Yeah. How did somebody get to that point where they know, like, is there like thoughts, questions that you ask yourself to like get to that point?
Man, I think it's just like you said, it's like your gifts are a big like starting point, that a lot of times there's like that unconscious competence is what it's called, when you like, you're so good at something and you don't know you're good at something. That is like where a lot of the gold is that people don't realize. Cause like, you know, there's things I'm good at that I'm just like, well, everybody's good at that. Well, actually, no, that's not true. You know? So looking at your gifts and saying, okay, like how can I bring that to like impact other people? I think that's like a really good jumping off point.
That's really, really cool. I didn't realize the power of gifts and like understanding what gifts were. I actually didn't really believe in gifts for a long period of my life. I believe like hard work and focus and dedication towards something, like you can create something, your gift. I didn't really believe in like raw talent. I mean, I did, but I didn't want to believe it, at least. Which served me well for like a long time. Like, I'm just like, okay, you got this mindset of like, you can do anything if you just focus and like dedicate yourself.
Right.
But I was ignoring this, like, hey, you have natural talents. Gift is the only way to put it for me, is like you said, it's, how do you define a gift? It, what you said is what I do well at, like just naturally.
Yeah.
With the least amount of effort.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the foundation, you know, of where to start. It's like, that's just the beginning. And then there is the hard work and the dedication and all the things, but you don't have to work as hard because you've built it on that like gift that you already have, yeah. Right?
You already have a baseline that's super high compared to like everybody else. So it's like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's also important that like understand that everybody has lots of gifts. Do you agree? It's not just like you have one gift.
And I think some are more obvious than others. And some of them, like I said, you don't know that you're so good at something because you think everybody else can do it. And sometimes that's a really fun realization. I think you kind of realize that more as you get older because you think everybody can do all the things you can do. And then you realize as you get older, like, no, actually, like, there's certain things that people do really well and certain things that other people don't do as well. So
do you think that entrepreneurship is a gift or that entrepreneurship spirit, or is that like a learned skill?
Yeah, that's a good question because, like I said, I never thought. I used to listen to these podcasts. I'm trying to think back on what they were. Like, do you remember The Skim? Mm-mm. It was these two girls and they started this like news, like congregative news so that you like could literally check your email every day and it would just all be there. And I remember listening to their podcast and they were so like they were real entrepreneurs. I mean, this is like how I think of an entrepreneur, like sure. Getting investors and like having a software like you and like doing all these things. And like, that's what I thought it had to be an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like software and things I don't understand and numbers I don't understand. And
hundreds of millions of dollars, evaluations and like,
yes, exactly. I'm like dealing with all this stuff. And then I think I just realized that like, it's not that. I mean, it is that, it can be that, but it's also just like doing something you love, bringing something to someone else and like letting them basically purchase it, you know? And so I think people are scared of entrepreneurship because of like the connotation we have around it. But I don't think that like, I think there are some people who are born to be entrepreneurs. It sounds like you and your wife are those people, like, you know, like maybe when you're born, you're like selling lemonade outside every day.
We definitely did this. I definitely did this. No question. When I look back on it, I think that was probably maybe partial gifts. Like I'm just, or maybe it was partial influence too. Like I watched my mom and I watched my stepdad and my dad, they were entrepreneurs. We didn't call it that. We didn't know what it was. They just owned their own business, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't like overly hugely successful entrepreneurs. It wasn't like that. They were just small business owners.
Right.
You know, like they were like blue collar drilling water wells. And then my dad was like contractor, right? Like we were that kind of entrepreneur. It was different than to like what we're doing today with internet and stuff like this.
Right.
So I don't know how much of it was influenced. That's why I ask you, right? I'm like curious, like how much does it influence versus born in?
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, it's good that you had that influence. That makes such a huge difference because my whole life, it was like, get a job at a corporate company, make six figures. That's just, I was never, and I think that's what shaped my views about entrepreneurship is like, it's dangerous. Yeah. It's not certain. It's, you don't know enough, that kind of thing. Not that my parents were saying that to me, but that's just something I, you know, believed, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think now that I'm in it, I just realize it doesn't have to be all those things. And so I hope that encourages someone because
I'm looking
up to be that.
I agree with you. I looking up the definition of entrepreneurship for everybody listening, including myself. Entrepreneurship, the activity of setting up a business or businesses, taking on financial risk in hope of profit. I think everybody's an entrepreneur.
Well, that's what's so interesting. I don't love that definition because I mean, maybe it's true. You're taking on financial risk, but like printables, for example, it's free to set up your shop on Etsy, as most of these people listening know. And then to list your item, you know, it's 20 cents. Like, are you, I mean, I think anybody who has a phone that's listening to this, like is fortunate enough to have 20 cents, you know? I guess you're more risking your time in that situation because you're not, it's not, and that's what I love about printables is like, it's not, I know you mentioned like real estate. I feel like when people talk about passive income, side hustles, you know, there's a lot of like upfront costs, like getting products and like storing them in your house and shipping and da da da. And so, with printables, it's not like that. So that's why I don't like the whole financial risk thing. It's like,
I get that.
You know?
I think it's evolving too. Like the definition is having, it needs to evolve because of the opportunities we have with the internet and printables and all this crazy stuff. But I agree with you. Like When I was first getting into real estate investing, which is our first venture, I was working corporate job, and I picked up a couple books. Rich Dad Poor Dad was one of them. A couple other real estate investing books, and I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna be a real estate investor. So like, pretty soon, like we went and did that. We were like buying real estate. Like we were legit. Like I figured out a way to like buy real estate using leverage, using other people's money, which was really cool, really awesome experience. But in order to get $1,000 return cash flow of passive income, you'd have to have a pretty significant purchase, actually, like a really good investment.
Yes.
Especially being in California, where it's like the barrier to entry for $1,000 net cash flow is significantly high when you're like 25 years old, right? Or wherever you are, really, no matter how much money you have. I mean, you're talking $1 million purchases, you know?
Yeah. And,
so the fact that you can have this online business that acts as if it's passive income, it's a little bit different than real estate, of course. Upsides and downsides to both sides, but you could have $1,000 legit coming into your bank account if you just execute this thing properly. It's pretty special.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's funny that I would love to talk to you more later about the real estate thing, because that's something that me and my husband are kind of getting into now.
But another thing. Nice.
Yeah, a whole other thing. But that's also the other thing is like, you know, selling printables or getting on Etsy or whatever it is that you're doing. It's just like the jumping off point, because then you start to realize like, oh, like, okay, I'm making $1,000 over here. Okay, how can I make $1,000 more over here doing something else? So, and like we said, you don't want to like spread yourself too thin when you begin. But the fun thing is once you get something up and running and it's kind of set, you can then say, okay, what else can I do now? Because you're always up for like a new challenge once you've, you know, grown and things like that. So, you know, I'm all about more streams of income. Like how can you create additional streams of income, especially passively? So it's really cool.
What are your goals? And not to get too personal, you don't have to share all your personal goals, but I'm curious, like what's the goal? What's the end goal for this thing? Like why so many streams of income? Why are you doing it? I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, that's.
Yeah. Man, that's a good question. It's like good to really reflect, but I feel like a lot of times I feel like I am showing people, I like to show people what's possible through like what I can do. So like there's so many people who want to change in their life. They want to do something and they're not doing it either. And a lot of times it shows up as excuses, but really there's a lot of fear under there. And so I want to be that person that says like, it's possible you can do, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. And so like to be able to impact more people in that way, whether I continue to, you know, do the printables business or maybe it moves into something else eventually, just to help people like see what's possible for them. Cause I feel like I can always see people's, you know, their possibilities, but they can't sometimes see it in themselves, you know?
Yeah. Like a lot of self-doubt that you have to like, you it sounds like you get fulfilled by enjoying, you get fulfilled by helping people overcome, kind of break down those barriers in order to like see their potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's really fun for me to see when someone's feeling discouraged or they just don't think it's worth it. And then they put in the work or they do, you know, they learn something new and they're able to be like, oh, look what just happened. And I'm like, yeah, look what you did. So
that's so cool. I have a sister, a lot of my sisters sell on Etsy, actually. They're she's really, really cool. And one of my sisters, they've all been going at it for some time on the side here and there. Some of them kind of like full-time, but like they're full-time moms. So it's like not really full-time. It's more like a couple hours a day whenever they can. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, I'll have to have her on the podcast one day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
She sells digital products. So not printables, but digital. So it reminded me of you. And she's just crossed 1,000 sales, total sales. She's finally like caught some momentum, and it's just pretty, it's fun to watch because I'm just like, dude, you did this. Like you were doing this. Just created, I think her revenue was like $3,500 in the last 30 days. Digital.
Oh, great.
And I'm like, dude, you're crushing. Like actually, this is really awesome. Not because 3,500 is like $1 million. It's not about that. It's about what is the next level that you, whatever you want to do next. That's the true excitement, I think.
Yeah.
Plus the money is cool. It's starting to become real money. Like that's We're talking about car payments. We're talking about house payment, possibly depending where you live, maybe two, that's depending on where you live.
Did she use Everbee to kind of like?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of validation personal in my personal circle.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I'm just like, oh shit. Like you actually researched this niche because like you would have never done this unless like the data showed you this. And then, but full credit to her, she had to actually create and then stick with it and a lot of failure and like just that self-doubt and all this other stuff to like take. It wasn't like a 1 month period of time. This has like been like 8 months, you know?
Yeah.
But it's passive now. Like it legit is pretty damn passive. Customer service.
Yeah.
3,500 on 70% margins on digital products, probably 75% plus margins. It's amazing.
That's amazing. Wow. Good for her. That's so exciting.
Yeah. And cool. Really, I thought about you in that way. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And validating for you for sure.
As a brother, you're like, yeah, of course. Like, it's like, you're like, cool. Like I know that we're helping thousands of people across the world, hundreds of thousands of people. I know that it is, but when you see your family struggle still with the same problem you're trying to solve, you're like, what the fuck? I can't even figure this like thing out for my family. You know, like,
yeah. So you know, it was so funny because my sister wanted to do printables so bad. And I like gave her access to my course and whatnot. And like, and I like let her in the community and she's attended like one of the calls, but like, she doesn't really like participate, but it's just like with your family, you want to like, you want them to like, I have all this stuff, like here it is, you know?
Yeah. It's almost like you're not legit until you can like literally help the people closest to you, like be like reach
exactly.
Their
things. But then they're like, you're not legit until like, they don't think you're legit. But then you're like, look at all these other people. Like, come on.
I know it is a funny thing, but Lindsay, this has been awesome. Super valuable. Yeah, we could talk all day about all this stuff.
We really could.
I hope that we covered enough value for a lot of audience. I know that you brought so much value. So thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been really, really amazing.
Where can people find you? Where can people follow you? Where can people learn more about you? All that good stuff.
Yeah. A great place is Instagram. Spend a lot of time there. It's a touch of LA _party_decorations. And then just my website's atouchofla.com.
Awesome. We'll link to all that stuff in the show notes and description for anybody checking out Lindsay. Lindsay, you also have, you mentioned this a couple of times, but you have a course on printables. Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. So the name of my course is The Abundant Girl's Guide to Passive Income with Printables on Etsy. It's very long, but I wanted to really incorporate, I guess, the abundance part of it because I bring a lot of like the mindset work as we've kind of touched on today, because I feel like a lot of times coaches really focus on just like the tactical strategies. And I really bring that, that personal development side, like the spiritual side of things, into it. So that's what I love about it.
I love that. Abundance is like not something we talk about enough. I don't think the world talks about abundance enough, like the abundance mindset.
Yeah.
For anybody listening, never heard that word before. It's like scarcity versus abundance. Right. And naturally, if you're going to think it anything in this world, but specifically for entrepreneurship, is probably one of the most important things to like think and have an abundance mindset, meaning there's more than enough to go around. There's more enough opportunity to go around. There's enough space for my product. If you don't have this, you don't even have the first level of chance of being successful because you just don't even believe it's possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what stops so many people is these things that show up as, they show up as facts, but really they're just these beliefs that we have. Like I did about entrepreneurship, you know, you think that this is how that things are, but really you don't realize that you've been conditioned to believe so many things that you need to uncondition yourself to in order to like see success.
Completely agree. Awesome. Lindsay, thank you again. I'm really impressed by the way, your daughter in the background. I haven't heard her at all.
She crawled out. She crawled out.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, Lindsay has a 7-year-old daughter that was in the background for a minute. Lindsay, thanks again. We have to have you on again. This would be really fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks so much for having me.
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.